Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Wednesday, June 12, Myanmar's bishops call on the government to terminate a hydroelectric dam project that could endanger millions of lives. Pope Francis says the communion and freedom from oneself are part of a Christian's DNA. And the bishops of the United States discuss how to implement the Pope's recommendations on confronting the clerical sex abuse crisis. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins. The Catholic bishops of Myanmar are calling on the government to seriously reconsider a stalled dam project on the Irrawaddy River. In a statement, the bishops described the Mitsun hydroelectric dam as a humanitarian catastrophe waiting to happen, as Father William reports.
The proposed construction site for the Mayanstone Dam lies at the source of the Irrawaddy River in Myanmar's northern Kachin state. Plans were laid for the dam in 2001 with the goal of setting up 64 hydroelectric plants to generate electricity. Former President Thein Sein put the project on hold in September 2011, but fears that the work could resume have prompted Myanmar's bishops to renew their appeal for the government to officially terminate the project. In an official statement sent to the Fides News Agency, the Catholic bishops of Myanmar earnestly request all stakeholders to seriously reconsider an ill-conceived project. The proposed dam has long stirred controversy due to damage that would cause to the river's vast floodplain by its modified flow. Cardinal Charles Bo, the Archbishop of Yangon, has twice stepped into the fray with the plea for an end to this project. In this most recent appeal, the bishops say, "The Irrawaddy River runs through the heart of our nation, flourishing millions of people, flora and fauna, with water for livelihood and life, and is deeply intertwined in the lives of the people of Myanmar." Now, by 2010, construction on the Mayanstone Dam had already forced the government to relocate some 3,000 people to newly built villages. The bishops say the dam would drive millions more from their homes and would provoke a humanitarian catastrophe and the migration of thousands of people. And Father William for Vatican News.
In Hong Kong, police today fired rubber bullets and tear gas at demonstrators protesting an extradition bill that would allow people to be sent to mainland China for trial. About a dozen people were reportedly wounded and taken to hospital. Tens of thousands of protesters had gathered peacefully outside the Chinese-ruled city's legislature before tempers flared, some charging police with umbrellas and throwing plastic bottles. The violence comes after an estimated 1 million people took to the streets on Sunday for a rally organized by the Civil Human Rights Front. It was Hong Kong's biggest political demonstration since the handover of the former British colony to Chinese rule in 1997 under a one-country, two-systems deal guaranteeing it special autonomy, including freedom of assembly, free press, and independent judiciary. Hong Kong Governor Carrie Lam has promised to press ahead with the planned legislation, despite widespread lack of trust regarding the Chinese judicial system and concern for the possible loss of freedoms. Sudan's military and opposition groups have agreed to resume talks on the formation of a transitional council. An Ethiopian mediator said the Sudanese army will also release political prisoners. In response, the opposition says it will suspend its campaign of civil disobedience and strikes. UN experts had expressed concern that Sudan is sliding into a human rights abyss. The UN spokesman Stefan Dujarric said Tuesday that several children are among those killed in the violence.
At least 19 children have been killed and dozens injured in the country since June 3rd. The executive head of UNICEF, Henrietta Fore, is calling for an end to the violence. She said that she's gravely concerned at the impact of the continuing violence and unrest in the country on children and young people, especially the reported use of excessive force against peaceful protesters. UNICEF has received information that children are being detained, recruited to join the fighting, and sexually abused. Many parents are far too scared to let their children leave the house, fearful of violence, harassment, and lawlessness. We would want to see an immediate end to the use of excessive force. We would also call for the authorities to stop arresting and detaining people who have themselves a significant role to play in those negotiations, as well as a full restoration of the internet and other means of communications. We continue to call on all concerned to resolve and work together to ensure peaceful, civilian-led transition and sustainable peace throughout the country.
Over 100 people were killed last week when the Sudanese army cracked down on protesters, and a feared militia was seen roaming the streets of the capital, Khartoum. Pro-democracy protesters are demanding a return to civilian government. The deadly Ebola virus hit Uganda on Tuesday, killing a 5-year-old boy and infecting 2 other members of his family. The boy had crossed into the country from the Democratic Republic of Congo and died on Tuesday. His grandmother and 3-year-old brother have also been infected by the disease and are being monitored in isolation. Uganda's health ministry made the announcement on Wednesday, adding that the boy's grandfather had recently died of Ebola. Pope Francis today emphasized the importance of community and the reconciling power of God's love. Continuing his general audience catechesis on the Acts of the Apostles, the Pope said communion and freedom from oneself are part of the Christian DNA. He also appealed for all people to respect and safeguard the sanctity of human life. Linda Bordoni has the story.
Continuing his new cycle of catechesis dedicated to the Acts of the Apostles, Pope Francis warned Christians against the temptation of being self-referential and invited them never to fear diversity. Recalling the episode in which, after the defection of Judas, the apostles had to choose another to take his place, the Pope explained that, guided by Peter, the community as a whole joined in prayer to discern the Lord's choice of Matthias.
E attraverso la sorte il Signore indica Mattia.
The disciples, he said, knew that they would be known by their love for one another. And he said that this visible communion of the apostles was their first form of witness to the risen Lord and his saving love.
E la comunione vince sulle divisioni.
This, he explained, inaugurated the practice of community discernment, which consists in seeing reality through the eyes of God, in the perspective of unity and communion. And he highlighted the fact that communion overcomes divisions, isolation, a mentality that prioritizes private space.
Sulla mentalità che assolutizza lo spazio del privato.
We too, Pope Francis said, need to rediscover the beauty of witnessing to the risen one.
Anche noi abbiamo bisogno di riscoprire la bellezza di testimoniare il risorto.
Going beyond self-referential attitudes, resisting the temptation to keep God's gifts to ourselves and never yielding to mediocrity. The Pope concluded his catechesis, urging the faithful to ask the Lord to help them bear witness to the reconciling power of that love by our unity, which, he said, triumphs over pride and divisiveness and creates one people of God out of diversity. After the catechesis, Pope Francis greeted groups of pilgrims present for the audience. In words addressed to a delegation of Polish pilgrims who participated in a procession for life on Sunday, the Pope issued an appeal to always respect and safeguard the sanctity of life.
Che la vita è sacra perché è dono di Dio.
Life is sacred because it is a gift from God, he said.
Siamo chiamati a difenderla,
urging all Christians to defend and serve life from the moment of conception until old age, when it is marked by infirmity and suffering.
Quando è segnata dall'infermità e della sofferenza.
It is not lawful to destroy life, he said, to make it the object of experiments or false conceptions.
Renderla oggetto di sperimentazione o false concezioni.
I'm Linda Bordoni.
Augustus Tolton is among the 8 individuals whose heroic virtue was confirmed by Pope Francis in a series of decrees promulgated today by the Congregation for the Causes of Saints. Sean Patrick Lovett tells us more.
The name of Augustus Tolton stands out among the list of 8 decrees, partly because he's the only American, but mostly because when he was ordained in 1886, he was the first Catholic priest in the United States publicly known to be black. Augustus Tolton was born into a family of slaves in Missouri in 1854. He studied for the priesthood in Rome and was ordained at the Basilica of St. John Lateran in 1886 when he was 31 years of age. He returned to the United States soon afterwards, where he served the black community, mostly in Chicago. Known for his musical talents, which included playing the accordion and a beautiful singing voice, Good Father Gus, as he was nicknamed, quickly became famous for the eloquence of his sermons. Contemporary news articles refer to him specifically as being a fluent and graceful talker. The year 1897 saw the city of Chicago experiencing an exceptional heat wave. Father Tolton was frequently given to bouts of illness and fatigue. On the 8th of July, he collapsed and died of heat stroke. He was 43 years of age. His cause for canonization was opened by the Archdiocese of Chicago in 2010, and on the 12th of June, 2019, Pope Francis officially confirmed his heroic virtue, putting him on the path to eventual sainthood. I'm Sean Patrick Lovett.
And finally, the bishops of the United States are seeking to tackle the issue of clerical sex abuse and to put in place measures to eradicate the scourge from the clergy in the U.S. U.S. bishops are meeting this week for their spring plenary assembly and are covering a range of other issues, as Christopher Wells reports.
The bishops of the United States are focusing on the crisis of clerical sexual abuse and cover-up at their spring general assembly taking place this week in the Archdiocese of Baltimore. Specifically, the bishops are discussing how they will implement new norms established by Pope Francis in the apostolic letter, Vos estis lux mundi, you are the light of the world. In addition to strengthening requirements to report accusations of abuse, the provisions in Vos estis address how to respond when bishops themselves are accused either of abuse or of covering up abuse of minors and vulnerable persons. Many measures called for by Vos estis are already effective in the United States, the result of previous attempts to address the abuse crisis. Additionally, the bishops have proposed making a pledge to commit themselves to abide by the Charter for the Protection of Children and Young People, the so-called Dallas Charter. At their meeting, the bishops are also discussing how to revise the charter so that in addition to priests and deacons, it will apply also to the bishops themselves. On the first day of the General Assembly, the U.S. bishops also faced calls for greater lay involvement in efforts to address the crisis, as well as greater transparency. In particular, speakers asked that the bishops request the Holy See to release information from its investigation into the case of Theodore McCarrick, the former Cardinal Archbishop of Washington, D.C., who was laicized last year after he was found guilty of having committed sins against the Sixth Commandment with minors and adults, as well as solicitation in the sacrament of confession. In addition to issues surrounding the abuse crisis, the bishops will also be taking up questions concerning upcoming elections in the United States, the ongoing crisis of migration, and the problem of young people leaving the church. Other items on the agenda include voting on a national directory for the formation and ministry for permanent deacons, and on updating translations of liturgical texts for the ordination of clergy. Debates and voting on the various items will take place on Wednesday afternoon and Thursday morning, with the General Assembly wrapping up on Thursday afternoon. I'm Christopher Wells.
That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. Many thanks go to our studio team. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins.